The contents of this podcast might refer to information that has changed since the moment of its recording. Follow us on Twitter at Project Noom to keep up with our latest updates.
Yeah, NFT terminology, bop or flop, man. This should be a good one because I know this is something that's comes up in conversation quite a bit, especially now in this crypto winter. So I'd love to hear everybody's take on that. So I'm excited for this convo.
Yeah, man. I saw Carlstrom post that we need to get away from NFT talk. And you know, when you really feel a tweet, you're like, yeah, man, that's right. And then I started going through the thread and I was like, oh man, we need to have a good convo about this because so many people are on the same wave. You know, I think that NFT term holds us back and it needs to be called something else. I don't know exactly what. I like the term digital collectible or digital asset, but Carl, why don't you hop on and introduce yourself and give us some game, my man.
Yeah, sick. Hey guys, how's it going? Good to be here.
Thanks for coming.
I'll just start with a little bit of like an introduction just to give you all some context as to who the heck I am. So I'm a mixture of things, and like professionally at the heart, I am a growth marketer, but I'm also from a musical family and I'm a music producer. And so I sort of found that beautiful intersection of like my professional side, which is marketing, and my love, which is music, in Web3. And so I work out with another block. Don't know if you all know who they are, but that is kind of irrelevant. Basically, we sell music rights via NFTs on the Ethereum network, or now more recently on some L2s. And so also, I hope you all can hear me all right. I'm kind of outside and out and about. I'm out in Portland right now. I live in London normally, so I'm all over the place. But yeah, that's who I am. I work on the marketing team with another block. Absolutely love this space, and we've had a lot of discussions internally about what this all means, how to approach it, where to go with it, just from like the tech side, terminology side, how to support artists, how to help generate revenue for artists, but also how to add that value to the collector and the listener. And I'm stoked to be here. I have a lot of thoughts on what you guys just brought up, so I don't want to hog too much here, but that's my intro. And I'll give you just quickly my thoughts on what was just said about NFTs and terminology. Like,
yes, please.
My view is even more extreme than that, I think. Like, I don't think we should have an overarching terminology at all. I think we should literally name it by use case. Like, that's my simple thoughts on it. So, like, if it's a digital, like, collectible, then call it that. But if it's, like, you know, at another block, we sell sometimes music rights. And then it's, like, collect music rights. And, like, ignore the NFT part for so many reasons. It's, A, I think the term has been tainted. You know, it's so much pump and dump and up and down and grifters and all sorts of shit going on. And, like, we don't want people having a bad feeling of this, what I think is a beautiful technology. And the other is just like, it doesn't really mean anything. Like, to a normal person who's not into Web3, like I am, and I think NFTs are cool, but for a normal person, it just doesn't mean anything. So I really feel strongly that we need to work collectively to get away from that. But I'll kind of leave it there for now. Just super stoked to be here for this conversation.
Wow, man. Really, truly appreciate you, man. And my feelings definitely align with that. Biz, are you going to say something?
Yeah, no doubt. Just thank you for that. I tend to agree. Immediately some questions come up, though, right? Especially when you talked about, like, let's call it what it is. And we were having some discussions about that earlier. There's different types of NFTs, right? There's different ways that you could use them. Kind of the unlimited NFT. There's the kind of the scarcity model, right? And I think about when we talk about music specifically, did call it by its medium, a CD, a cassette tape, MP3. So in this merging of markets, it sounds like there may be a need to kind of have a hodgepodge of both, right? Because there's, there may be less of a reason to call out the nuance of it if it's just music, if you're just simply talking about music. So in that case, what's your opinion on that, and how would you address the medium of music that you're referencing if you don't use the technical term?
You know what? That's a really good point. And to a certain extent, I haven't thought about it, but I do have thoughts about it now. I just had my mind racing as you were talking there. And I really like that point. I think that I agree that it might make sense to find that one sort of term that sort of communicates the medium, but I just don't feel like, at the very least, I don't feel like it's NFTs because, like CDs, for example, they had a pretty limited use case. Like, sure, there were DVDs, and there were like, back in the day, you could install like Windows or Microsoft Office and stuff with CDs. But, like, generally, if you said CD, it was referring to music. Like, most people, I think, would assume that was an album, a CD with music on it. And so I feel like we've already kind of gone into a world where NFTs has so many different applications and meanings to where that simply doesn't work anymore. And that's why, like, maybe there is an overarching term in music specifically. We call it like digital music collectible or something like that. We're actually working on this at Another Block a lot. Like, we discuss it a lot. What should we actually call this? But I feel like because NFTs have so many different use cases, they're so like dynamic and you can be so creative with them. We can't use that term. Like, it's too confusing. And we want to, NFTs have such a great benefit to the creator and to the customer, or the collector in this case. And I think it's sort of doing them an injustice by not communicating what it is. And the final point, and then I'll hand it back over. The final point is, like, if you as a creator of an NFT don't know what to call it, like don't know how to label it, then I think you might be at risk of not having a good enough or clear enough product. Like, I think you need to be able to articulate what you're selling, because it's, I think it's a responsibility to ask people for money. You are responsible then for what you're offering. That's kind of my take. I hope that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
Thank you for that.
all
I
this.
agree. I think, from a music perspective, you can say, hey, I'm releasing music, right? That's what it is, from a technical perspective. But yeah, having some type of kind of universally accepted term when referring to blockchain music, I could see that kind of naturally developing over time. If we try to force it and try to make some kind of cool acronym, it might not go over so well. We've seen that happen several times over. But no, I agree. I think there's so much variance and so many use cases for NFTs. It's way too wide of a spectrum to just label put it under one label. And with the term being tarnished at this point, is probably not the best to keep rolling with that. So I that's why these conversations are so worthwhile, right? Because we're at the forefront of this thing, and so dope to hear you from, Ethereum. Now we have in these cross-chain conversations about what we love and how we can make this all happen. So, yeah, that's super dope. Go ahead, go ahead.
Totally. Yeah. I think just there was a small piece I wanted to add where, like, I think you know, we as the people working in this industry, we have some form of responsibility to like facilitate the conversation and try to guide it in the right way. But in the end, I really do believe like the market will decide what it is, and we can be kicking and screaming, but the market will decide. And it should be down to the customer, the user, the listener, whatever it is. Equally, I'm really curious. You mentioned like this cross-chain conversation. Obviously, I'm shamefully a bit of a Ethereum maxi. I work predominantly in Ethereum, but I think we're in a pretty Cardano-heavy space now. So I'm keen to keen to get a little insight into that. I just don't know enough about Cardano, and I'm so interested in learning more. Like last time I was on with Mikey, I think Mikey that was on our space at another bar.
Yes, cool.
I mentioned like I wanted to learn more about what's going on and what's going down in the Cardano ecosystem, and I'm sorry to say I haven't taken the time yet myself to learn about it. So looking forward to learn a bit more tonight.
Yeah, all good, yeah, bro. Man, all good. I'll let someone else chime in if they want to give kind of an overview of what we're doing here at Noom. But yeah, just totally a pleasure to have you here and be having this conversation. And because, you know, this team specifically is the artist relations team at Noom, which is a music-specific project on Cardano. But we're always talking about the need to have, you know, more cross-chain collaborative conversations and you know, kind of spread the notion that we're all in this together, right? And we can be maxis, but we shouldn't be competing in any form or fashion. So, you know, we should be working on collaborative and collective efforts to rise the tide of Web3 as a whole. But Mikey, Adam, if you guys want to talk about, you know, as a brief example of what we're doing, or a brief overview of what we're doing.
Yeah, Adam, go ahead. Adam hasn't even said a word yet. Adam, go ahead.
And, oh, man. Hey, everyone. Just been listening, man, and enjoying it. Kostrom, thanks for coming through, man. I'm definitely familiar with Another Block. I hear about what you guys
Adam,
are doing.
Adam, I don't know if you're busy. Adam, why don't you take it away? You got a pretty good
Can you hear me?
Describing things.
I hear you fine, Adam.
I think Abyss can hear me.
Damn. All right, I'll drop it.
Yeah, Abyss, mute yourself, brother.
Yeah, or leave and come back might help. Kostrom, thanks for being here, man. As I said, I'm familiar with Another Block. There's definitely crossover from what we're doing, actually. We just approach it in a different way. At Noom, we have the record store, which is for music collectibles specifically, or music NFTs, or whatever we should really end up calling them. And then we are also doing distribution and fractionalizing the music rights. So where you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like y'all are focused on, fractionalizing music rights and selling them kind of on a one-off basis with some very, very big prominent names. We're more kind of focused on the DIY artist or anyone that wants to use the tools to distribute, fractionalize themselves, and put those music streaming rights up for sale to start. So we're very much trying to decentralize the entire upload, minting, distribution process, royalty collection, and we actually take the streaming rights and we fractionalize them into 100 million pieces, and then so wherever those individual pieces or tokens live, that's where we make the royalties claimable from. So definitely been paying attention to what y'all are doing and super, super, super excited to be talking to you, actually. I didn't know who was slipping in here tonight, but it's great.
Yeah, that's super cool. I think we're pretty aligned in, like, from a company perspective in what we're trying to achieve. We've just started in different places. So we started with, as you mentioned, with the, like, very prominent artists and songs. From the view of, like, you know, I don't know how to put it nicely, but gathering a lot of attention really quickly, basically. Yeah. Like, everyone knows the big artists, you know, The Weeknd and Martin Garrix, David Guetta, Rihanna, things like that. And so, but the goal isn't that. The goal isn't to support big artists. And the goal is, you know, to get to a place where, similar to what I think I'm gleaning from you, is like have a platform that artists can basically show up and use the tools, use the tech to support their careers, and use, you know, all these functionalities to sell off ownership rights in their songs and kind of share in the rewards with their supporters. And that's where we want to go as well. We have to an extent done that, in that we very rarely, well, actually never, have of the like prominent names on our music, like the music that we've sold, it's never that artist really that is selling their share.
I've noticed that. Yeah, it's like the producer, right, or someone else.
Yeah, exactly. We want to highlight the people behind the music. So it's sort of our hybrid version of supporting artists, because it sounds a bit weird, right? Like, oh, support The Weeknd. It's like, yeah, he doesn't need support. He's fine.
Right.
But it's the people behind it. And it's, you know, there's still successful musicians and producers behind it, behind those songs. But that's where we started. And I think, you know, we're pretty aligned in the long-term vision of where you guys are going and where we want to go.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think kind of for y'all right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it might not be support the artist, but more participate with the artist in the sense of, you know, the artists you're working with now and their producers and so on.
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah. What happened with that one with the Super Bowl? Can you tell us? What was that artist that dropped during Super Bowl and it got pulled?
Rihanna, the Bitch Better Have My Money song.
Yeah.
Got rugged on OpenSea. Still hasn't been, like, they still don't accept that song being traded.
OpenSea made that decision. Yeah,
really weird. So
did Jay-Z's lawyers put a stop to that behind the scenes? Is that what we're saying?
You know what? To be honest with you, I still to this day don't know why. So we released the song and it popped like crazy, particularly after the Super Bowl. And then OpenSea decided to block it. We couldn't trade. And they gave us a generic reason for why it wasn't allowed on OpenSea. And then we tried reaching out to them and like saying, you know, here's the legal contract. This, nothing's wrong here, nothing's shady. Like, we have a legal team that works on this for months and months before we actually release a song. It's not on a whim. And and they never got back to us. They still haven't to this day. So there's like no major mystery behind it. It's literally just that they just did not like it. And maybe there was some kind of legal team behind there, like on the other end.
They haven't done that to any of the other tracks, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Something happened behind the scenes that you guys aren't privy to.
Yeah, 100%. And like, it's funny, right? Because we got a lot of heat with the Justin Bieber drop recently, because a lot of people were saying, "Oh, like this is gonna crumble in lawsuits and stuff once Justin Bieber actually finds out." And like, it's just, the thing is, it sometimes, or a lot of the time, I think, when we get a lot of attention for these big tracks, it's as if people think we've kind of like just kind of riffed it and gone, right, let's just release this and see what happens. But like, we have a legal team and we have a music acquisition team, and they all work really hard to make sure that the original rights holder is in agreement, and we sign contracts and we make it all happen. So it's funny to see it from the mainstream sort of, or at least Web3 mainstream media side. But yeah,
you get lumped in with just everything's a scam type.
Yeah, situation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Even the Justin Bieber drop was hilarious, because we were so stoked. We got a little shout out from Bankless on their weekly roll up. But even those guys didn't get it right. They were like, oh yeah, Justin Bieber, like, is basically selling off a piece of his music and he must have worked with these guys. And we were like, no, dude, like, Justin Bieber isn't involved at all.
Right. Well, I mean, when you kind of market the track, you put Justin Bieber's name on it, but when you go to buy the track, it says the producer or something that is the one that's selling it, or how does.
Yeah, totally. Like, we always put the big artist name up there, but every time and this is specifically by, like, by counsel of our legal team, we always say brought to you by, and right. then the rights holder. And yeah. that's never the big name artist.
Yeah. That's crazy how much legal dancing we're all doing to try and, you know, walk across the balance beam with this stuff. And y'all, I imagine, don't have everything available for sale in the US because of the uncertainty around that atmosphere.
Sadly not, no. Yeah. At least not the music rights where you actually like receive money from streaming and stuff. We just like we did, but we just can't do it anymore. It's right. too big of a risk until it's kind of cleared up. But I think like what y'all are doing is super cool because that's where like me personally, I'm really interested in the whole like a young emerging artist coming onto the scene and like getting some early supporters. And then I think they should have the choice to sell rights in their music if they want to. I get a lot of heat for that because people say, oh, well, it doesn't like work out economically. I'm like, that's not the point. I think the point is like they get support from their fans and then should they pop later, they like can share those rewards with the fans who were there to support them and bought their music rights. And I think that's sick. And I as far as I'm aware, that is like part of what you guys offer or
yeah, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I always say no financial advice before I say anything. So I'll just say no financial advice, but that is kind of the idea. And then the other thing is how do you also bring more utility to these tokens that are being sold? You know, what can you gatekeep access to, you know, and other things coming or, you know, early access to, and those are the other features that we want to bring on board eventually that, you know, make those tokens more valuable to a fan, other than just potential, you know, ROI on them.
Hey, so, Carlton, I had a question for you, brother. So sorry, Adam, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
all just, good, man.
You were talking earlier, you said something about introducing a young artist, you know, to the space, but I wanted to ask you, how would you like, say, for example, you meet a young musician that you see can go far, you know, you see that they can make it in the Web3 community, Web2 community. How would you introduce this without using the word NFT to them? Or how would you try to convince them to create an NFT without using, you know, the ugly NFT verbiage? What's your approach to this? And I ask you that because, you know, we all are in this space. We all learn from each other. Something I have the privilege of doing is artists who submit to put music on the record store, they get to set up a meeting with me. And I pretty much help all of them go through a strategy of creating a solid strategy for what they're trying to release into an NFT and creating utility with that. So I feel like I could learn a lot from you from what you do. So yeah, speak on it, please.
Definitely. That's an awesome question. I want to point out, sort of similar to Adam's not financial advice, little disclaimer, these opinions are not the opinions of Another Block, but mine. We do discuss this, but just so you guys are aware, like these are my opinions specifically. I think it's a really big sort of question, right? And I think to a certain extent, there's no way getting around that it's all very new and might feel like a little foreign to the fans and the listeners. But I would communicate it similar to what you just kind of finished with there, like from the utility piece. So like I would say, you know, you can basically show your support. Like I would probably call it more supporting by collecting. I like the word collecting. I think it's really good. I think it sort of makes sense if you don't have open editions. So if you have a cap, then I think collecting makes a lot of sense. But sort of communicating to that artist, that new artist fans, like, you know, you can collect a piece of this song And that means, you know, up front, you get X. It's a, like a modest kind of reward for collecting. But down the line, you know, this artist promises X, Y, and Z for collecting that that piece of music. And I think, in my view at least, the in that realm or in that world, in that scenario rather, it's less about the terminology there and just kind of more about taking, I'm trying to make this make sense because I have so many freaking thoughts around it, but the thought, the artist or the company helping the artist putting in all that effort to make that first and foremost very frictionless. So like, I'm kind of going off track from your question a bit, but I feel like it's important. So first and foremost, never expect that they know anything about Web3. So, you know, whatever you have to do to figure out the infrastructure to not make the listener have to set up a wallet, have to acquire crypto. I think those are two very different audiences, the crypto natives and or the Web3 natives and the not Web3 natives. So that's kind of step one. And then I think it's, you know, sorry, I'm kind of backtracking here because I'm thinking around the word collectible. I don't know how, I love it because I'm Web3 native, but I'm trying to think from the lens of a non-Web3 native. And I would assume that the majority of them are not. A collectible kind of implies, to a certain extent, value over time. You don't collect things generally that, you know, you don't think will have value, or at least there's an undertone of like, I think this might accrue value. So maybe it's more like a pass, you know. I think, sorry, I am rambling a lot, but I like.
No, I hear about... I hear your marketing hat on right now. And you know what? I said this exactly to Abyss earlier. We were just chatting, you know, about this topic today, you know, the collectible word. And I too said it should be, you know, limited and blah, blah, blah. And Abyss says, well, you can collect anything. You know, it doesn't have to be limited. You can have a collection of vinyl records that are, you know, endless limitations, or Pokemon cards or whatever it else might be. And I was like, yeah, you are right about that. You can collect things that, you know, are unlimited. So maybe it's not too far stretch. But is there an undertone there of value over time? I don't know.
Yeah, and just to chime in, thank you for bringing that up again, Adam, because I wouldn't have said it that way. But that and either one is okay, right? Like, I think even if we are leading with the connotation that there will be future value, I think that's fine, especially if we have utility, right? I think that's the piece that, in my opinion, kind of gets swept under the radar when we have these conversations, because when I think of an NFT, like in the literal term, it's like the access pass, the all access pass, and that's what gets you access to the utility. So the music is free, right? Thanks to Napster, streaming, what have you. So now the music is just your marketing tool to pull people into your world. And when they're in there, you know, you find your super fans by selling them the golden tickets. So that's kind of how I see the whole thing.
I think that music is free thing it's hard to stomach, you know.
Yeah, but I hate it, man. I hate it.
I think it's different for different artists though. Like if, you know, the biggest artist in the world right now did a music NFT and they limited it to 100, you know, is the music free? Or it's hard to say there, but I'm trying to think that one through out loud as well. Go ahead, Kullstrom, man, jump in.
Yeah, cool. Okay, I have like so many sort of rebuttals there. It's crazy. All right, I'm going to try to structure them nicely. So first and foremost, Abyss, I think like I love the whole access pass thing. That for me, you know, the artist pass, the access pass, whatever it is, that for me feels very aligned with an NFT that offers utility to an artist. I think that going to the streaming is free, or like, sorry, music is free perspective, like, I hate that too. And I find it really hard to stomach. But it is the reality now.
Yeah, it is kind of true,
like,
right?
Yeah, and like we're not gonna. I see a lot of people talk about like, oh, it shouldn't be this way, and it's like, look, you can yell about that all you want, but like this is what people, as in listeners, expect now. So the listening experience for me is not something that should be worked too hard on, because like you can't go from Spotify, Apple Music, all these tools that make it so easy to listen to music. I don't think you can go from that and then make it harder. Like people get accustomed to very easy experiences, and I don't think it would be a good thing to make it harder. As much as I don't want it to be that way, it is that way. And the final thing is, I find this the conversation, this like the dynamic conversation of the different sort of attack points of this, so interesting, because I come from the finance background, weirdly enough. I didn't really add that in the intro, but like I am from a finance background, and I appeal very much to the finance piece, so like music as an alternative asset. So I always lean that way, but there's so many other additional components where like I think the access pass makes a lot of sense. I mean, just like imagine, you know, buying the access pass, the early access pass to Taylor Swift when she was 16. Like, holy shit. And like, I don't know how you structure it, right? I don't know what the answer is there. If it's like an annual meetup for the early access pass, and that like sustains over 10 years, or what it is. I don't know how you set that up.
If I can interject there, I think, you know, you're spot on. And I think there is no like cookie cutter setup. Like my mind goes there typically as well. Like Mikey Mo will attest to this. I'm always trying to think of, okay, well, what's the standardized pricing of a music NFT? If we're recreating the music industry, like a Web3 music industry, we need kind of that same infrastructure. And then we're like, well, actually, no, we don't, right? We don't need any, you know, guardrails or infrastructure. Like if we have full creative artistic expression at our disposal, and we could sell it and format it however we want, we could do whatever we want, right? So the value of it then becomes completely subjective to, if the music itself is accessible on Spotify, then what are you offering around your music to give that, you know, potential investor, super fan, whatever you want to call it, that experience that's worth them pulling out their credit card and investing in you?
Yeah,
100%. 100%. Sorry, Adam, to interject there. I have a personal experience with this that I have thought about a lot. So I don't know if y'all know the artist, the Norwegian producer Kygo, but he is one of my favorite producers. And I remember listening to one of his, he blew up on SoundCloud way back in the day, and he blew up with like a bunch of remixes. And I remember listening to some really dope remixes when he had like 800 streams, and I loved them. And there were 800 streams of this song. And like, if there was a tab there that said collect this song, or like, you know, get some type of future investment, and I don't mean monetary investment necessarily, so the word investment isn't right here, but get some type of future investment in this song with this artist, I would have bought that immediately. Like, I was hooked. And that was one of the few times in my life that I've been a super fan early on. So I feel like that part is so valuable for super fans, like offering the well-rounded kind of artist access experience. I think it's huge.
Agreed.
I think it's just the new, better way to do a fan club. Isn't that what it really is? Like a more technologically savvy way to gatekeep fans, super fans, and actually create tiers of fans and assets that then become that access pass that can be resold. So it's just, again, it opens up all the possibilities. And I think the sooner the general public fans and the general public artists figure this out and understand this, and the more tools that are built, like, the faster artists are going to make more money, and fans are going to have even cooler experiences.
Yeah,
totally.
And not only that too, like, you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ryan Leslie, but you know, he's definitely ahead of his time. And he already kind of did this model like off chain, where he took all of his music off the streaming platforms and the whole nine. Like he really did it like the, you know, the way that I think music artists were traditionally trying to do it originally when Web3 NFT came around. But anyway, he went to a subscription model and he said, I'm never going to make an album again. I'm just going to give my supporters one song a month forever.
And Patreon.
But he did it like right directly through his website. And, you know, there's a lot of independent artists that followed that model. And now he's gone on to do Superphone and all kind of crazy stuff. But it's still the same kind of model, right? It's just like the generic blueprint of that. Like whatever you want or whatever you offer artistically, whether, I mean, in this scenario, music or otherwise, you know, it's a way for you to kind of, from the creator's position, identify your biggest supporters and really like develop a direct relationship with them and share what revenue or ownership or whatever that is. So it's just a win-win.
Yeah, it's really cool that I think I want to add the sort of flip side real quick though, because the way I see it is the sort of the tools we have, the Web3 tools we have to make that happen. I feel like part of me wants to say that it should be like more sort of exclusive, sort of just exclusive content. Let's call it that. And the reason I'm saying this is because, you know, if I were putting out albums, I found that my music speaks to a poor 14-year-old in Peru. Like, I wouldn't want to gatekeep that music to that person. Now we have, like, the tech is there, as in, like, the old tech, like Spotify and Apple Music or YouTube or whatever, is there to sort of share that music with everyone. And I wouldn't want to, like, prevent the person who can't afford it financially from hearing that music, because that's part of it, you know, the storytelling and music supports a lot of people like emotionally, and it's a sanctuary for a lot of people. Like I know it is for me when I'm in bad times. And so I wouldn't want to gatekeep all of it. You know, I would want to gatekeep some stuff as a monetary sort of revenue source and then reward the people who bought that stuff. But I definitely wouldn't want to withhold it from the greater population. So I think there's like good and bad of the truth, or like of the music business we know now.
Yeah, can I speak on that, please? Because me as an artist, that's where I am so torn. And that's something that I didn't realize I was torn so much about until you know, the pandemic came and no artist could do anything. You know, I totally feel you that, you know, your music should be available. But then as an artist, you're like, hey, I got to eat, though. You know what I mean? So, wow, that's such a difficult spot for an artist to be. Because if you make it available to everyone, then it doesn't hold the same value. Right. That's, you know, just my thoughts. But also to flip the whole convo, I wanted to ask you something that you brought up earlier that was I was very curious about. You said that to introduce someone into the space, you should eliminate the barrier of a wallet and having to buy crypto. So I know and you're a finance guy. So that means that's going to cost that person X amount of money off top. Or how would you present that? Would you present that as like part of a marketing plan? Like I'm going to spend X amount of marketing dollars to put, you know, this amount of crypto in each person who starts a wallet or something like that. Like how would you break that barrier? Because, you know, I recommend all the artists to get Giro Wallet because I'm in the Cardano space. And Giro Wallet plays Cardano NFTs, and they're the only wallet that I'm familiar with that plays this stuff. So I point them directly to Jiro Wallet first, because I think that's the first step. But what you said is way better. So how would you come up with a solution for that? Or what's your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a really good question. So what I would do today is probably not aligned with my previous statement, meaning like my previous statement was more ideological. I know we don't really have necessarily the tech to make it work without spending a bunch of money right now. And I'm definitely not an advocate for like an artist breaking the bank to try to get a few extra collectors and then still barely make it. Like, that's definitely not what I advocate for. So today I would do, you know, if I had an artist come to me and was like, I need support with this, like I would go full on target like a Web3 audience, like assume all of your collectors are going to be Web3 natives, because I think that with the tech that we have today, that is the easiest way to go. I think over time, I would hope that the infrastructure generally, like the open source kind of infrastructure, gets better to where the horrible user experience we have today in Web3 sort of goes away. Like, I feel like a Web3 native. So like, for me, it's easy. I have shown my dad Web3 and I've spent hours with him and he still has no idea what the hell to do. And I would assume most people feel that way. So it's really hard to say. Like, I honestly, I don't have any silver bullet solutions. I think right now I would still go for like the Web3 audience if I were to advise an artist, until there's better infrastructure to make it easier for them to kind of target everyone.
I totally agree with that. We have these conversations all the time, and we're
definitely.
We're always like, this is the reality we're dealing with right now, and this is the reality we hope to get to later. In my opinion, like, yes, Web3 companies are targeting Web3 audiences, or Web3 artists are targeting Web3 audiences, both, because those are the people that understand this. And we're all collectively trying to onboard more people into the Web3 space to grow it for everyone and make it as noob friendly as possible. I think like the biggest Web3 onboarding, things out there, or companies out there, like, let's be honest, it's Robinhood, it's Coinbase, it's those type of things that are the opposite of everything Web3 is supposed to be, in that, you know, it's, you're not self-custodying your funds or your assets or whatever it is. You know, they're giving you issuing a wallet that they hold the keys to. And then it's up to you, if you educate yourself enough, to move your stuff into your own custody, if you care about that. So yeah, I mean, and then the platforms can do that too. The music platforms can do that too. We talk about this as well. Like, should we have eventually a custodial wallet and encourage people to move your funds off and educate them on how to do so? I think that's where it's going to start. And the companies that get that process, you know, the best and the fastest, will onboard users earlier than the rest.
I totally agree. I think there's so many like nuances to this conversation, right? Like, one of the beauties of this whole space is that there's going to be, I think, like, basically everything as a service, meaning like wallet as a service, crypto as a service, like all these different plugins, sort of Lego pieces that will make it easier for other companies to take all these open source kind of tools and protocols and plug into their processes and make it easier for onboarding. That being said, I still don't know if people really care about self-custody. Like, I do deeply, but I just don't know if the majority of people ever will.
Nah, they don't. I agree with that. They don't, you know, they feel safer with someone else custodying their funds, and most of them for good reason, because they'll lose their keys or do something silly. But yeah, I completely agree. They don't care about that mentality until the government starts implementing all the totalitarian things they're going to do and abuse their rights. Maybe they'll care then, but probably not. But yes, I agree.
100%, yeah. Listen, guys, I've actually run over the time I had. I'm a little bit late.
Appreciate your time, man.
I really love this conversation. And Mikey, if you have like more spaces like this, shoot me a link. I'd love to join. And
every
like,
2 weeks.
I don't have to be a speaker. I'd love to just join and listen in, but I'd love to chat too.
Carlstrom, you are welcome to our space anytime, my friend. We truly appreciate you coming. And yeah, man, I'm so thankful that you came in. You're welcome anytime. We have this space every 2 weeks. Anytime you want to say something, come by, say hi, drop some knowledge on us. We're very appreciative of it.
Yeah, and let's get up on the side, man, and maybe we could talk to you about why we're doing this on Cardano, because we all started in Ethereum, but we want to break bread with you on the Cardano conversation as well.
100%.
Definitely.
Yeah, let's catch up. Let's catch up soon again. This is great, and I really do want to get deeper into the weeds. And yeah, I mean, Mikey, you always bring in sick energy. Love you. Like, great energy and enthusiasm.
Love.
Awesome. Abyss, it was great to chat to you. You have some awesome insights.
No doubt.
And Adam, obviously fantastic. Like, really appreciate all this from all you guys. So yeah,
let's catch up
again.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, man. We'll see you, man. Nothing but love.
Take it easy.
You
later.
Too.
Peace. Bye.
All right. Yeah, we're still here. Yeah, man. See, I had to, man, what a great guest,
rad.
Tom Fellas.
Yeah, good job, Mikey. Well, if I knew how to get those claps, I would right now. The audience still, I'm not.
Oh, hold on. There we go.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Hey. Oh, shit. We got the big homie.
We got the maestro.
Okay.
We got the maestro in the building. The maestro, my man. Big Daddy Ryan.
You coming up to bless the mic? Maestro.
Yeah, let's get Big Daddy up on here.
if you want to, bro.
No pressure, man. I love Ryan, man. I love that guy, man. Him and his wife, they're so awesome, man. Their energy is just infectious. I can't wait to see them. Also, hey, is anybody here, by the way, besides us, of course, going to NFTLV? Can I get a hands up, a thumbs up, thumbs down, something? Any of you going to make it?
Make it. I don't even know what you're talking about, but I'm going to make it.
Oh, NFTLV.
You're going to be there. What are you playing?
Yeah, you're going to be there, NFTLV.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Yo, I just literally got out of orchestra rehearsal, so I was flapping my hands on a podium, so I had to hop in. I didn't know if y'all were still on or not.
We're here.
We're coming up on the tail end of it, but we had a really awesome guest.
That was a great conversation.
Yeah, great convo about NFTs and how we should change the verbiage and things like that. It was really awesome.
No one has the answer yet, though. None of us have the answer yet to what we should call this thing.
We don't, but you know, I'd love to hear your take. I don't know, you know, I know things change every day in this industry. We've talked about this probably over, you know, in the past or over the years, but what is your take if NFT, the term NFT specifically for music, you know, but considering the other mediums that it's already kind of expressed itself in, what would you say is the proper way to coin this phrase or what we're doing if it's not the acronym NFT?
Oh God. I need to think about that. I mean, we're doing RealFi. So we're doing real world assets and they just happen to be tokenized.
Can you call it a music token without it being too Web3 feeling and scare people off? That's what we're trying to do. How do we present this thing to the public without scaring them off?
I mean, we better figure that out since that's what we're doing.
This is true.
But I mean, look, I think with what we're doing, and I think you'd all would agree, our general ethos is we're facing towards, you know, mainstream adoption. So I think part of that is you have to meet people where they are in order to get them where you want them to be. So I think the naming conventions, I will say, I do think NFTs, for better or for worse, I think people that are not in crypto associate the term NFT with visual art instead of an audio medium. So I definitely think that we're going to need to come up with something else than just NFT. So I don't know what the answer is. I just think I know what it's not right now. I think that's the
best way to answer
that. That's fair.
And we've been saying music NFTs. I think it's music NFTs, music collectibles, music tokens.
I mean, you know, I think we're going to have subsets. Like, I think we're going to have, because right now,
that's true. Like, that is true.
You can have a collectible that might be tied to a to a physical good that could be tied to like your merchandise as an artist. You also have albums that can drop as an NFT that they're bundled together just as like a serialized release. And then you can have like the things we're doing with stream tokens with the streaming IP. And then eventually the syncs and all like the master rights and the mechanical stuff. So I think we're going to have subsets of names for the industry just in general. So that's not answering your question, but it's unpacking it just a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's good. I did hear you say, I believe I heard you say the term digital asset. And I think, you know, as I'm kind of mulling that over, that's probably the closest that I can think kind of covers all gambits of this thing, right?
Yes, I totally agree.
So I like that. I think that's on my leaderboard right now.
Yeah, I have digital asset or digital collectible for me covers it all, because then you could say what kind of digital asset is it, and then you could. And then you could go into those subcategories, like Ryan was saying, without scaring people about it being an NFT.
Right.
Because we
make music first, and then whatever we're offering as a product is, you know, just happens to be in the digital realm.
I think we're at the point in the evolution of the tech stack to where the technology that we're using to facilitate what we're doing is the naming convention right now. But in the future, I don't think it's going to be the case. Like, we all know we're utilizing fungibles and non-fungibles to create these experiences for people. So therefore we're calling them NFTs because that's actually what they are in blockchain lingo. But I do think if we move a step beyond that, a generation removed beyond that, so i.e. The kids that just download the new map one day and they're like, they find a piece of music they really like and they're like, hey, I can own part of this. They're not going to think of it as an NFT, even though the back tech, like the back end tech, NFTs facilitate this new thing. But I do think the naming convention is going to change. It's not even going to have NFT as part of the equation. That's just going to be...
I'm buying music rights or buying music royalties or something like that. I agree with you. I think the whole goal of this is to make the blockchain crypto aspect just disappear.
Yep.
And... you know, the tools are just, you're used to the tools at that point. Right now we're in that like gray area where there's been so much scamming and everything else that's gone on and bad news headlines that we have to bridge that gap to people not being afraid anymore.
Well, yeah, you're spot on with that. But I also think too, we're at the point, not just socially like you're talking about, but just even in the tech side, that the people who created the tech that creates the new business model are still super hyper excited about the new tech and business model. So that's their focus right now is, hey, NFTs, they're revolutionary. And we know that, but I think that next generation removed is going to be like, hey, this is just a really cool product. This is just something integral. And I don't care about the tech of why it works and why that's so cool. It's the same. I think it's the same thing like internet protocol. Like the people who created it were like super excited about the protocol itself, but nowadays, three generations removed, you know, they're just like, hey, I can send videos and audio files that are massive in seconds. I don't care how things talk to each other. I'm just able to create my videos. So I think we're going to get there.
That's how you know we're still early. That's how you know we're still early, when people are still afraid of it. You know, that's always a telltale sign. People are afraid of new stuff.
We have Mark Cuban getting his wallet drained of $800,000 worth of crypto. That is not grandma test approved. So, you know, like we're going to have to get to that point.
That's a Ethereum problem right there, huh? What's up, nudes? Come on up and speak, man. I've heard you speak in different channels before.
What up? What up?
Yo, what's up, nudes?
Yeah, what up, homies? So here's my suggestion. I'm throwing it out there. So Ryan said everybody's when they hear NFTs, they think of like digital art. I totally think that's a thing. But then what do people talk about with music? Like, I think this conversation is so important. So I just want to throw that out there too. So here is my thing. I think everybody, if you mention the word streaming, people in their mind, they know that that's music on the internet. So I feel like we could use that and integrate it in some like meaningful way that people are going to be streaming, AKA listening to music in an electronic format on the internet with people. So I'm throwing it out there. That maybe things
I agree with
could
that.
Be phrased as like a streaming pass, and you can become a streaming member. And if you want to own some stuff, you can get a streaming key. So we're not talking about it like a tech or a technology or a thing or this loaded ass term where people are like seeing it in the fucking news with Sam Bankman, you know what I mean? All that stuff. You talk about like a human experience.
Yes, yes.
Human experience.
Yes.
So I want to be a streaming member to get a streaming pass and maybe even buy a streaming key to unlock some revenue or do a thing, you know? And like front and center, the human experience about it, I feel like it's a good way to go. So I'm throwing that one out there.
Yeah, I love it. Beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much. That's beautiful.
And does anyone even say when they listen to music, do they even say, I'm like trying to ask this out loud. Do they even say I'm streaming this music? Or they just say I'm listening to music. Like you just, you don't know where they're listening to, but if someone asks like, where are you listening to? Well, I'm listening to it on Spotify. I'm listening to it on Noom. I'm listening to it. You know what I mean? It's just like,
that's totally true.
Even the word, even the term stream is kind of getting played out. Cause it's not that new anymore. Right. No one cares.
Well, that's a really good point. Let's
that actually, is a good point.
I'm like a psychologist philosopher on this right now. Come on.
Well, I mean, but I mean, nudes makes a good point. Like the term is like code word for listening to music online.
Exactly. Every,
it's an acceptable term, but to Adam's point, is it really used in everyday vernacular? Right. Like I don't refer to listening to music as I'm streaming music. You know what I mean? So it's only something that would be, you know, socially acceptable. That's
the only time someone would say that is if you walk into someone's house and you see them putting CDs in a CD player and listening to their stereo and you go, all those CDs on the wall, why don't you just stream it all on Spotify? And they go, well, I like it this way. Like that's the only time it's going to come up, I feel like.
Or when you're pulling out your vinyl records to go listen to it on your Magnavox, baby.
Yeah, when the tech is challenged, like when someone sees counter tech, then they're like, well, why aren't you streaming? You know, but yeah, that's a great point.
That was a great way to look at that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, and you know, too, it brings up a good point, too, right? The product that we're looking at, you know, very close here is the Stream Token. I think in that context, it makes a lot of sense. But socially, you know, how will this thing be mentioned and talked about? You know, going back to the essence of the conversation, if we go 2-3 generations away, we're using regular vernacular. I'm listening to music. It doesn't matter the medium. It's the verb. It's what I'm doing. I'm listening to the music. And the actual tech falls into the by the wayside, yeah?
Yeah,
great. I can see a world where, like in the marketplace, you can have sync tokens. You can have
exactly where I was going with this.
Yeah, like or Mecca. I don't care. Call it whatever. Or master tokens, or you know, stream tokens. I think whatever the name is, token. I can see a world where that makes sense for so people know what it is that they're actually purchasing in the ecosystem, but I can see some type of like social movement outside of the people participating in the, you know, in the marketplace of that being like, hey, you got some, you're a holder. I don't know. I could see some social contagion of like, oh, you don't just listen to music. You do more than just listen to music. So you must be like a new term for an audiophile, but like somebody that is like so not just they're financially involved also. Like I can see a whole new term being created to kind of encompass people who participate in this new ecosystem. I don't know, down the road. I don't know what it'll look like, though.
Yep, yep. News, what you got, bud?
Yo, I just wanted to say, I think one of the good examples or, like, case studies for this conversation in terms of, like, crypto vernacular goes is the approach that Reddit did with their collectible avatars that they have available. And it's all Polygon NFTs, right? They're fucking tokens and all the stuff that we're talking about here. But there's quite literally over a million people on their platform who got into these things, had no idea that it even was an NFT, because the thing where it goes is inside the vault. And it's called a digital collectible, and that's all it is. And you think about those types of terms that people are using, it's like utilizing vocabulary that people will encounter in other walks of life outside of these platforms. And I think that that is something that really resonates with people in a lot of ways, because you don't have to create a new headspace for that thing. A token is weird. It's not, you don't use tokens in anything other than like super maybe Chuck E. Cheese or some crazy thing, but it's a super domain.
That is true. He's got a good point there.
Or the subway.
Yeah.
That was going to be my next question too, is like, is the term token going to be socially acceptable?
Yeah.
Right.
No, like nudes, you hit the nail on the head. Like, so prime example, like I work with lay people like in choir, or even orchestra that might not necessarily understand like musical terminology. And so the most effective that I'm on the podium is whenever I'm using non-music terms to get across the concept that I'm trying to teach, right? And so I think in that same vein, just like what you said, you don't have to create a brand new headspace for people to attach and associate value and meaning to something. So you're spot on, and I think you're very much on to that part of the equation. So
what do they call it in video games when you buy stuff? Does anyone know? When you buy,
that's the thing, right? So like if kids, I think we're gonna get to that point to where they just know they're buying in-game
assets, in-game attributes.
A lot of it's called skins. Or,
skins, yeah.
You know, DLC, or you know, DLC. If they're buying guns, they're buying the actual name of the gun. You know?
Right.
So it's the thing. That's what I'm saying. It's like the verb or the descriptive word or whatever. I don't know if I'm using
right. So you got to be pretty specific about it.
But I think to the point earlier that Carlstrom made is this: the term or the creation of an NFT can be applied to a multitude of things. And it's just, I think it's growing by the day, if not the minute, right? Like what you can actually do with a non-fungible token, so to speak. So to that point, what would we really be calling out from a music perspective? It's just, it's music. We're listening to music still. And then whatever we're describing, we would be talking about what you're getting as a result of what you purchase.
With the video game perspective in mind, they call it just downloadable content, right? DLC is a whole thing, and a lot of people hate it, they love it, or whatever. But that again too is like utilizing terminology where you have content in every other form of your life. You can have print content, media content, all this stuff, and this is digital content, right? And the key like value prop is digital content ownership. That's like the area I think it can go real good.
Ooh, I like that. Digital content.
Fire tonight, bro.
Yeah, nudes, we need you on. We need you here often, brother. We need you here often.
Where were you the last hour? We spent the hour trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
No, that's dope, man. I like that. Because it, you know, again, you're not introducing any new vernacular. It's also socially acceptable to what people, just like streams, we understand what streams are. We understand content, the term content has been shoved down our throat the last couple of years. So no, I like that.
Yeah, content, everything's content.
Yeah. But digital, like lockable content, content ownership, you know, all of that makes sense. There's no description necessary. So yeah.
We need to make community as popular as the word content. So that artists know how important it is to build their community, because that's really where it's at, and that's what they can do with this stuff.
We just did it right here, man. We tapped the community, you know, and they helped out.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, guys, you know, it is. Hey, on that note, I want to be respectable. We're 7 minutes over an hour. So, you know, it's been a wonderful conversation. So many great people have came through. We even had Big Daddy Ryan come through. Man, it's been such a beautiful night. You know, and
soon to be Big Daddy Ryan. Soon to be. Right.
Yeah, right. Hey, that's how I'm calling him now. I'm calling him now because after that, we're not going to see him.
Dropping alpha on the channel. Y'all didn't know this, but I got a little one on the way. We got another baby Noom on the way. So
yeah, little maestro.
We got a little maestro coming at us in December.
Yeah, no sleep for you for a good 6 months. But
no sleep.
It's gonna
for 6 months.
But it's gonna make you even better. Yes. I can't imagine. Yes. How you're going to become even nicer than what you are. But I know becoming a dad makes you even nicer.
He's
going
to be supplied to bribe. He's going to be miserable.
God bless. Oh, man. Oh, all right, man. I'm terrified now. Okay, you know, one of us up here has named their child after a guitar. So, you know, I'm just throwing it out there.
At least I get to think about guitars as I don't have any more time to play them right now.
Right, right. You hold something else at this point.
Right. I hold my Gibson, but he talks and poops now.
Right.
that's a feature, right? Not a
feature.
Oh my god.
On that note.
Right.
Thanks for coming out, y'all. It's been real. It's been a fun one. We'll be at NFT XLV next week. End of next week. And then we'll be back here, same time, same place, 2 weeks from tonight, to do this again. It's been real.
Yeah, we're gonna find another awesome guest. If we can't, then you know, just we'll be here and we'll be awesome on our own. But we'll have y'all. So, man, we appreciate all of you so much. We appreciate you spending your time with us. You know, we hope you got some good info from this wonderful convo. And we're just thankful for your time, and we hope to see you at the next one. Till then, this is your main man, Mikey Moto MC, signing off.
Adam Bloom, I'm out. Abyss,
checking out. Appreciate y'all. We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Peace.